We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states. And the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live, in-game odds on every major sports, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have our Detroit Lions versus the Cincinnati Bengals final review. We're going to talk about the game in more detail, talk about the quarterback situation, and we also talk about some of the QBs in the draft coming up this year. Should the Detroit Lions draft a QB or wait another year for a top prospect to come out? Find out all on episode 202 of the Pride Podcast.
The seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down, Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to episode 202 of the Pride Podcast on the Blue Wire Network. Today's episode and all our episodes are sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Malcolm, Underdog Fantasy has not been treating you well. No peer with us today. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Malcolm, how's Underdog Fantasy been treating you lately? I know it hasn't been treating you too well.
Like, I'll have a parlay, and, like, two out of my three will hit, and I just, like, haven't got a W this week, so it's been rough, but it's all right, man. I'm gonna keep rolling.
Promo code PRIDEPOD. If you use promo code PRIDEPOD, you get $10 back on your first deposit of $10 or more, so free money. Go use them on the pick-ems. I had a little more luck on the pick-em, so I told you Jamar Chase was my favorite over this week. He went over. It was like 77 yards, I believe. He got like 90 some. So he went over. And then Thursday night, I ate up on Thursday night football with Tampa Bay and Eagles. So that was nice. So I ended up winning a $90 parlay. And right now, as we're talking, we're recording this, the app is down, but you know, it should be up by the time you guys are listening to this. So I can't check on my Monday night, you know, updates right now. But as I last checked, it's looking positive and we can make some more money today. So go use promo code PRIDEPOD. $10 back on your first deposit of $10. Free money again. All right. With that being said, we have some laundry to talk about. You guys are probably wondering, where is Pierre been? Pierre hasn't been on an episode since Minnesota Vikings preview. So, you know, Vikings postgame, he wasn't here. Bengals pregame, he wasn't here. Bengals postgame, he wasn't here as of right now. And he's going to miss the rest of this week. So Pierre actually had surgery this week. He's fine. He's good. He's not fired. I mean, you know, if you had those speculations, he's not fired. He's good. He'll be back very soon. Just his voice isn't 100% right now. That's why he's not joining us right now. But everything is good for Pierre. He's just resting right now. So he'll be back with us very soon. And, you know, I think he dodged a bullet not talking about this game, that pitiful Detroit Lions and Cincinnati Bengals game. So, yeah, Pierre will be back with us most likely next week to probably recap the Lions and Rams game. So, you know, we'll see how the team stands at that point. So, yeah, Pierre will be back probably next week.
Yes, sir. Can't wait, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we miss Pierre, man. Pierre's a big part of our show, and, you know, it just hasn't been the same with him the last couple episodes. You know, me and Malcolm trying to hold it down. We try. But we're definitely missing that one piece to that puzzle right now, and that's Pierre right now. So he'll be joining us very soon. So. All right, let's get into Detroit Lions, Cincinnati Bengals. We did Raw Emotions, like we always have done for the rest, you know, from this whole season. We've done the Spotify Green Rooms. And that Spotify Green Room was an interesting one. I would say a very interesting one. Like, if you guys are interested in, like, raw emotions, just raw, uncut footage, I definitely recommend that, because that was as raw as it gets. I mean, I had a pizza delivery in the middle of our pod. You got a little
legendary.
You got a little opinion from my pizza man. He asked how the Lions game went. It just, yeah, it was very raw and uncut. So if you're into that stuff, definitely recommend it. And if you guys are interested in that stuff, you guys could join us live on Sundays. We also take you guys' calls, or, you know, you guys could hop on stage wherever it is on Spotify Green Room. So, Malcolm, you know, you rewatched some of the game. You told me you didn't rewatch it all, but you told me you rewatched some of it. I can't blame you for not finishing the game. It wasn't.
That's not the reason why. I just got tied up. You know, Mondays is ridiculous for me. You know, a lot of people I know, I do a lot of boxing on Mondays, so. You know, after work and trying to watch it, you know, while working, it got hectic. So I didn't get to finish it.
You didn't miss much. I mean, you saw what you had to see in that.
I saw the good things in the first half. I didn't get to watch the second half, which would have showed a lot of negative. But I mean, I already know what the second half looked like, man.
Just, yeah,
it's a mental just. You know, just thinking about it, laying down, thinking about it. I already know what went down in the second half.
Okay, then what'd you see differently? Because, I mean, yesterday there wasn't – I said there was a couple positives. I thought the defense was a positive. We said keeping the Cincinnati Bengals to 10 points at the half, and for the most part, 7 points, because the field goal was like one of the last possessions of that first half. So for the most part of that first half, only giving up that one touchdown. It was a terrible coverage by Jalen Reeves, maybe, and he got – killed on that juke move by Chris Evans, and it was a walk and touchdown for Chris Evans. But overall, I thought the defense was really good in that first half. So what differences did you see from the initial eye test to watching the first half of that game?
So the big thing with watching the second time, we didn't get to really highlight how good this certain player played yesterday. And this player I'm talking about is Derek Barnes. And, you know, we raved about him. And we were excited when he was able to get that start when Jamie Collins got released, you know. But this he balled out. I'm talking about balled out. He played at an elite level yesterday. You know, he had 6 total tackles. I mean, he just was all over the field. And the crazy part is that he only had a limited snaps. He wasn't the leading snap of our linebackers. He only had 32 total snaps. Which is not much, man. This kid needs to play a lot more. We saw him in coverage. He did a phenomenal job in coverage. Whenever, you know, there was a handoff or somebody caught a pass, he was always around the ball. Derek Barnes is the future of this team. He's the future anchor of this team, and this is something that everybody should be excited about. And I didn't give him enough praise initially when they came out, because when I first saw the game, I saw him sometimes, but I was so damn mad about Jared Goff. Like, it kind of blocked me out of it. So I didn't get to really see and notice. I mean, I saw the pass he tipped against the tight end, but he balled out. He was phenomenal. So everybody should definitely be excited about Derek Barnes, man.
I think some other guys you should be excited for, and I mentioned it a little bit in our last episode, is those guys in the interior, man. When Nick Williams went down and Levi Onwuzurike got a little bigger of a role, I was impressed. I thought he was a disruptor. As soon as he came in that game, was making an impact already for that defensive line. And, You know, I would say the veterans of this defensive line going inside, like, I know I've been giving a lot of shit to Trey Flowers, and I still stand with that opinion. I'm still going to give a lot of shit to Trey Flowers. But another, I think some other guys have been kind of disappointing this year. Michael Brockers and Nick Williams. You know, I didn't really have much expectations for Nick Williams, but Michael Brockers, I did expect to have a bigger role in this team, a bigger impact, I should say, on this team than he's done so far. I've been more impressed with the younger guys as far as the interior defensive linemen. Guys like Lee McNeil, year one, making a big impact already as a starter, getting a majority of snaps as a starter at that nose tackle position. I think he's been very good in the run game and even getting pressure at times and just eating up those, you know, offensive linemen and helping out his other defensive linemen to help get to the quarterback. I think he's been a great disruptor. Levi Onwuzurike, I just mentioned, I think he's been really good in the limited snap counts he's gotten. And then another guy we have to shout out a little bit that we didn't know he would even make the team, and you've always been really high on this guy. And I've always liked him, but I think he's been a little better than expected. John Penasini. I think every time he's in the game, I think he's another guy just being a good disruptor. I think when him and McNeil are in the game together, it's very difficult to run on them. I mean, you're losing a little more pass rush and a little more athleticism, but you know, those guys, those three guys, they've really impressed me so far this season. And I saw some positives in that game specifically, and especially in that first half, you know, when the Lions defense was playing really good, you know, they were flying all over the field. And I'm giving a big shout out to those three guys, and obviously 55 as well. Derek Barnes had a big impact. And then, you know, we gave some shout out to the corners yesterday. I thought Jerry Jacobs had a pretty good game. Amani Awarie has been very solid for this football team. You know, I think he's had his moments. And then, you know, it's a good defense. I mean, not a good defense, but you see, like, positives. You see growth from these guys, and that's definitely a positive. Holding that Cincinnati Bengals to 10 points in the first half, that's impressive. That's impressive. I know the final score looks like our defense got sharded on, and it looked like it was just a bad game on defense. But you have to actually watch the game, I think, to really evaluate the defense, because the numbers are not going to look good. But as far as those guys fighting their asses off, and I called out the energy of the team yesterday in our live show. I said the energy of the team was just so flat to me. You know, you started off the game with two penalties. You had, like, the false start. You had the holding call. And I just felt like the energy was kind of gone. And offensively, they never got that energy going. And that's what really disappointed me when your coach gives you a speech like that the week before after a heartbreaking loss. I wanted to see some energy throughout the whole team. I think the defense responded to the message. The offense definitely needs to, which we'll get into. They need to respond a little bit more. But the defense, I think you could agree with me. They responded to Dan Campbell and that message he was going, because they were playing their asses off. There was no give up on that defense until that second half. It's just when it felt like you had no chance at all when your offense is averaging 2.6 yards. Like, how do you have any emotion? How do you have any motivation to keep going as far as the defense? It's going to break down eventually when your offense is just not staying on the field. So, like I said, you even put a below average offense, because this offense isn't even below average. This offense fucking sucks. I think if you put a below average offense, I think this defense statistically looks so much better than it is right now. So I'm giving my kudos to the defense. I'm giving my kudos to Aaron Glenn, because I think he's just been a phenomenal addition to the staff. Aubrey Pleasant, I think he's doing wonders with these DBs.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, so, I'm going to give some credit to the linebackers coach, Mark DeLeon, I believe his name is, and Calvin Shepard, inside linebackers coach. Everyone on the defensive staff, you're getting a good noodle board. You're on the good noodle board right now. Offensively, we're going to talk about that. But the defense, I've been impressed.
Yeah, man. For, you know, AP to get Jerry Jacobs up to speed and for him to get him ready to be a starter in the NFL, this guy was an undrafted free agent, an undrafted rookie. And for him to get him ready to be a starter and playing well, Jerry Jacobs, he had two straight games in a row, guys. He's playing well. And he had a very tough task this week. He saw Jamar Chase. He saw Jamar Chase a lot. And he held his own.
Tyler Boyd, that's a good receiver. Tyler Boyd,
T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. He saw a mixture of all three of those guys. And he held his own. Yeah, you could talk about the play he gave up. You know, what was that, the third quarter when he gave up that big play to Jamar Chase?
Yeah.
Yeah. But besides that, man, he held his own. So that's a big, big kudos to this coaching staff, man. And this is what I was excited about, is having a great coaching staff to make guys who are average to make them good or great, you know. And this is what this coaching, the defensive coaching staff is doing. Aaron Glenn is awesome, man. I mean, I hope we don't lose this guy next year, because he probably is sparking a lot of head coaching opportunities. Just seeing, you know, what this defense is doing, what he's doing, able to do with this defense that has nothing but young players. Nothing but young players. And he is getting the best out of these guys.
Are you finally ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. The excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. Get exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on the action with your favorite teams and players from the NFL, MLB, NHL, Gold, MMA, WNBA, college football, and many more. Right now at WynnBET, you can find great promos, odds, and payouts. From boosted parlays to live in-game offs on every major sports, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I got a question for you, Malcolm. I got a question.
Yeah.
So Lions got all this draft capital, right? We've been talking about the draft capital, We have all this ammo to do whatever in the offseason, and especially in this NFL draft. And I think the whole narrative of the offseason, I would even say the whole narrative of the first game and even the second game, everyone's like, we have to go full-on defense in these first, second, third rounds. Like day one, day two just has to be focused on defense. Do you think the narrative has changed at all?
No. I mean, yes. I don't think we have to necessarily go all on defense for the first, second, third round. I mean, I don't mind getting a, you know, if we do have the number one overall pick and we do grab that guy from Oregon, you know?
And Thibodeau.
Yeah. And now you have an elite pass rusher, you know? I don't mind that. But maybe him, maybe another, could be another linebacker maybe. I don't know. But I think from what we have, I think they're solid. And they're playing their ass off. Maybe another corner we might need. I don't know. Let's see how free agent comes out. You know, maybe we could get a guy in free agency. But we need help offensively. We need help offensively bad. Like bad. This is like we need a premier receiver. We need a guy. We need a possibly a number one option. And we can't afford to try to get a guy late. Like we got Amon Ross St. Brown and hope that he could be that number one guy. We need to grab a guy first or second round to really help whoever's our quarterback. I don't know who our quarterback is going to be, but whoever's our quarterback, we need a receiver to help him out. Because right now, this ain't it.
So I'll say this. I think the defense still needs some help, obviously. Like, I'm not here to say this defense is great, or I would even say it's good right now. I think it's getting to a point where we could be average is the upside right now with this group of guys, which is fine, which is exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
But I think it just shows, and you've been mentioning in the offseasons, like, you get a good coaching staff and what they could do with, you know, maybe not guys who are highly thought of or below average talent or even average talent. And you could just kind of see an elevator of their game. I think that's a positive that you're seeing elevation from guys that were just afterthoughts almost, or guys that were never highly thought of. Like a Jerry Jacobs, like he wasn't even supposed to make the team. And
I was terrified. And just thinking that he could potentially be a starter. Remember talking about it? Like, oh, you know, him or Bobby Price, if they're ever starting, this is bad. It's not a good situation.
Yeah.
But look, he is I don't even know what you do when these guys who are injured and guys who are on IR come back. What do you I don't even know what you do to say, okay, because Jerry Jacobs, I've seen more of Jerry Jacobs than I've seen from Jeff Okuda. Yeah. And I'm just gonna the two games, all Jeff Okuda last year and week one, I seen more. And him coming off an Achilles injury, I don't see a situation that you say, okay, Jeff Okuda, you're automatically gonna be our number one starter, and Jerry Jacobs, you're gonna ride the bench. I don't know. He's playing starter level. He's playing at a starter level, which is for an undrafted guy, man, that's AP, man.
With a pass rush that is developing and I think is getting better, but it's still not average yet. Like, it's getting better, the pass rush. They're getting to the quarterback more often than years previous, but those those defenses that we're talking about are historically bad in the NFL. So I think it's still a very below average, you know, front as far as getting to the quarterback, but I think there is room for improvements. And you're just kind of seeing the work that these corners are doing with, I would say, below average, you know, front four as far as getting to the quarterback. And, you know, the amount of work that these guys are putting in and playing well. No, I mean, that's definitely a positive. It's like, now you think of a scenario, it's like, what if we figure out the pass rush and we actually get some legit dogs? What if we get KVD on Thibodeau and we have Romeo Okwara on him on two sides? Like, I mean, that could be very scary. Like, how much more could these, you know, corners elevate even their game more when you know, there's less time in the pocket for quarterbacks to make these reads to, you know, these receivers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to make when we rush four, it's going to be serious. It's going to be a serious rush four. Yeah. Just talk about some pressures, man. You know, Julian Cora had three pressures. Charles Harris had three pressures. Trey Flowers has two pressures. And then, like, our interior, like, you know, Malik McNeil, had one. Austin Bryant had one. Nick Williams had one.
Man, Austin Bryant had a sack too.
Austin Bryant did have a sack. Austin Bryant had a sack, and Julian Okwara had a sack. That sack looked amazing from Julian Okwara.
It was great play call by Aaron Glenn. He had him completely unblocked. Didn't even get touched. Julian Okwara's too fast for that.
I haven't seen us get a sack like that in a while. It's been a long time since we just had a guy coming free off the ball and just get a sack like that.
I've seen us give up sacks like that.
Oh yeah, that happens all the time. But man, I just want to bring up, I know you talked about Trey Flowers a little bit, but I just want to bring up Trey Flowers, man. Like, what a, like, he's just been a disappointment as far as like what we're paying him and what he's doing on the field. Like, from what I saw, I didn't get to watch the whole game, but when I watched the first half,
Rewatch.
So I watched the whole game.
Yeah.
When I rewatched the first half, I didn't see this brother get double teamed once.
Yeah.
He didn't get double teamed once. And this was a guy, when we first got him, we were like, oh yeah, Trey Flowers get double teamed, and then the other people can't get pressure.
Yeah.
He is him against the tackle every play. And he's not winning. For six for what we're paying this guy, $16 million, to give him two, to only pull up two pressures, one hit, one hurry. Come on, Trey. You got to be. He has to be. He has to play better. He has to play better, man. This.
I think we got to take him out of that outside linebacker position. I think it's time for a position switch for Trey Flowers. I think I've just seen enough from him in that outside linebacker spot. He's obviously not athletic and fast enough to go back into coverage when they need him to. I don't know. I what's your thoughts on that? Maybe pushing him inside?
No, absolutely not. Like Trey Flowers, I would push Trey Flowers inside on passing downs. Third and long, fourth and long, put Trey Flowers inside all day. It is what it is. You put Trey Flowers against a guard, Trey Flowers is only 260.
I don't know what you do with him. What do you do with him against a guard,
he's going to get – that's they're going to – you think they're running on this now? Put Trey Flowers in the interior.
I know.
On rushing downs. They're going to rush right to his side, go big, and just power his ass.
I just think it's more of a liability. I don't know. I just don't see – I don't think he's valuable outside. I think the guys behind him are so much – you know, they bring so much more juice and more impact to the team. When Austin Bryant's out there, I feel more confident we're going to get to the quarterback or pressure the quarterback or disrupt the quarterback. When Charles Harris is out there, I feel more confident. When Julian Aquara's out there, I feel more confident. When Trey Flowers out there, I just feel like a dead man just fighting with the offensive lineman. It's just, it's not going anywhere, man. It's just, that's what's going to be.
I mean, Dan Campbell, he sees what we see. There's no way that he feels like Trey Flowers is better than any of those guys right now. Exactly. He's getting paid way more than those guys.
They didn't pay him, obviously. That was Bob Quinn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I get it. This is a different role for Trey Flowers. He'd never been a stand-up linebacker in the NFL. So they're asking to be a stand-up linebacker. But in reality, these other guys, Julian Okoro, Charles Harris, Austin Bryant, they're better stand-up linebackers than Trey Flowers right now.
I agree.
So I think they have to just sit Trey Flowers down and be like, hey, man, I know you make $16 million, but we're going to have to reduce your role, big dog.
I was saying that when he was injured. You remember, I was saying I'm completely fine if he's not a starter anymore, and he's just in a very reduced role.
Yeah, just say, look, we're going to put you in on passing downs, third and nine, third and eight, third and ten, and have you rush from the inside. But it's not working out, big dog.
I mean, Julian Aquara deserves way more steps than he's getting right now.
Like, him in coverage is pitiful. His damn right.
He's not athletic enough. Damn right terrible.
You're seeing him in coverage. But even passing, like, I'm trying to just rush the quarterback. It's not it right now, man. You need to get your guys who are going to put that pressure, who's going to stop those runs and make those big plays, man. Right now, you're just not doing it.
Yeah.
But this is tough to say, okay, you're going to make $16 million, but we're going to reduce your snaps to 25. that's crazy.
You got to do what's best for the team right now. I think you just got to take out the contracts and what the guy's making right now, and you just got to go with who's playing the best right now and who gives you the best shot of winning. And frankly, I think Trey Flowers is your worst outside linebacker.
He is. Because, I mean, and it's kind of sucks for Trey Flowers because – I don't know. Because, you know, he's been making all this money and he never lived up to his contract. Yeah. But he has a new role. I mean, they tell him, you know, you're going to be an outside linebacker now. So they gave him a brand new position. But it's just, this is not him. He's not an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
This is not his position. He's not an outside linebacker.
I mean, even going back to, like, when he was in the system that he was comfortable with, like, he wasn't much for us either. No. He's never done to the contract.
He never lived up to his contract.
$16 million? It's not like we paid him. He was a baller in the Patriots scheme and obviously just didn't work out. He wasn't even good in that. I mean, he was better in that system, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't live up to the expectation like you mentioned. And then now in this scheme is even worse.
Yeah.
Which was expected, I think. I think we expected a little bit drop off in the system compared to the last system, just because, you know, I don't know. I didn't expect much of it.
I didn't know. I actually had hope that this coaching staff will bring out the best out of these players. Like, look at Charles Harris. Who the fuck was Charles Harris before he came to the Lions? You know, AG's bringing out the best out of these guys, except Trey Flowers.
But Trey's is what he is, man. Like, he's just not meant for the system. Like, this system is meant for athleticism and some speed. You saw that with Charles Harris. Charles Harris has some of that juice. AB has some of that juice. Julian Okwara, we always know, has that raw athletic talent. It's just, could he develop some pass rush move? Those guys had some upside. With Trey Flowers, it's just like, outside of stopping the run on the edges, which he hasn't even been as good as he has been, like, as he was, outside of that, it's just like, I never saw much of an upside with him with this new system with Glenn.
But even Romeo is not used to being an outside linebacker.
But he has some, like, speed and some, like, more athleticism than Flowers. Like, you saw some potential with it.
Well, Trey Flowers, I think he ran, like, a 4.9.
Yeah,
he's not
fast. He's your typical Patriots hands-in-the-dirt defensive end. Yeah. That's just him.
I know Dan Campbell said in his presser that he's looking to make changes all around.
I think
the Trey Flowers move is something that he definitely has to look at and evaluate and say, look, brother, you taking 47 of our snaps right now that we could be giving to these young dogs right now. They might have to pull it back on them.
I mean, if the other guys weren't performing, if the other guys were just struggling as much, I understand keeping Trey Flowers. But it's like these guys behind them, if anything, he's stunting the growth of them because he's taking snaps away when he's been so unproductive for this team. And when those guys get the opportunity, he's been very productive, you know? I mean, those guys have been productive when they've taken a spot. It's not like we don't have a guy right now. We have multiple guys that are hungry and ready to fill in for Trey Flowers and have been better when he's been out.
Austin Bryant's a big example right now. He only had 26 snaps. This is a guy that he could be given more snaps to.
He takes advantage of his snaps. Whenever he's in the game, he takes advantage of his snaps.
26 snaps. He got one pressure, one sack. Yeah. You know, this is a guy that you possibly need to say, okay, Trey Flowers, we're going to lower you down a bit. Let's increase Austin Bryant more. Hell, give more to Julian, even though Julian had 33 snaps. But he needs to be up there, man. He's a phenomenal player right now, man.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting better every single game.
All right. We talked about this defense now. We saw some positives. We talked about Trey Flowers.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you're going to talk about the offense.
I would even pay Trey Flowers a minimum wage contract right now. But
that's messed up. Minimum wage?
Minimum wage, no. I'm not paying him wage. He's a liability. I don't want him on my defense. I would be okay if he's making $60 million more on his couch than on our defense.
Oh, man. This is why you pay guys who you kind of know who's going to come in and contribute. Trey Flowers is a guy like, all right, he played well with the Patriots. He was a high-pressure guy. Hopefully he comes here and balls out, you know? But shit, man. God damn.
It goes our way, man. It just never goes our way. We can never have anything nice.
We're so excited about Trey Flowers, too.
Oh, it's super excited, dude. It looked like that free agency class in general. It's like we got Jesse James. He's gonna pair up with TJ. Well, we didn't know we had TJ Hawkinson at the time, but we got Jesse James. We got the number one Steelers tight end.
What a waste of money, Jesse James. Oh, my Lord.
Got Justin Coleman. We got a high-paid nickel corner. Who else do we pay that offseason? There's another guy. I said Trey Flowers.
Wasn't Danny Amendola?
Amendola was like who was like that day one free agency? Amendola, he was good. He played to his contract.
Yeah, he did. Definitely, man.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this offense. So
guys
not picking up to their contract right now. We mentioned Flowers. Goof. Did you take away anything different from watching Jared Goof the first and second time?
Oh, shoot. All right. So Jared Goff.
Goof.
Jared Goofball. Goofball. this is a, you know, state of emergency for Detroit right now. This is a state of emergency for the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff, and I will be the first to admit it, I was absolutely wrong about this guy. Don't laugh, God damn it. Don't laugh. Don't laugh, Tyler. I was wrong.
You try to sell me on him.
I tried to sell you on him. I tried to sell you the hope saying, you know, maybe we could revive. He could revive his career and be the 2018 Jared Goff. He could be the Jared Goff that when they played the Chiefs, he put up like 50-something points. Everybody was like, wow, look at Jared Goff. I was hoping that maybe he could revive his career. But damn it, it's been a It's been a train wreck. This is terrible. God damn. Oh, so just watching this game is, I will say this, he did have some moments. He wasn't 100% bad. He was like 98.5 bad.
I was going to say, what are these moments?
I will say, okay, so the moment as far as like when he hit TJ Hockenson in the seam route down the field, that was like, all right, cool, Jared Goff. I mean, but there was like 1,000 bad plays before that. His interception that he threw, when he threw it to Amon Ross St. Brown.
I was going to say, that's probably his best throw of the game.
No, I would say the seam route to TJ Hockenson was probably the best route in the game.
Okay.
But that throw he threw to Amon Ross St. Brown, which got picked off, which 100% wasn't his fault.
No.
I'll say those were his two moments in that game. Every single other thing after that was just a train wreck. And it's just, it boils down to Jared Goff, what are you doing? On third downs, he's not throwing the ball past 10 yards. He's throwing the ball 8 yards and wants the receiver or tight end to make a play to get the first down. There was a play on fourth and eight, I think it was.
Yeah.
Fourth and eight.
And he threw it away.
And he threw the ball away. And then he admitted that he thought that it was third down and he could just punt it. Because
Wait,
he saw the flag.
He said that?
He said that, bro. So he thought when the ref threw the flag, because he saw when he started rolling out after he missed Hodge and Swift right in front of his face, after mm-hmm. he missed them completely,
yeah.
he rolled out. When yeah. that happened, in my head, I was like, all right, this play is dead. It was this moment I saw him roll out, I was like, this is either going to end up as an incomplete, a strip sack, or he's going to get picked off. One of these things are going to happen right now. I didn't think he was going to throw a ball out of bounds, but he did. He threw the ball out of bounds, and he admitted that, look, he thought it was third down, and he thought that they could just punt it away because he saw the flag. So it was an error on his end. But it's just shit like that, man. It's just shit like that.
I mean, that's just inexcusable.
It is, man. And it's just been bad, man. And I wonder how much of it is Jared Goff. As far as, because like, I didn't realize until Dan Campbell actually came out and said, and he actually tried to defend Jared Goff. He said that a lot of it is the receivers running the wrong routes. So I'm not sure how much of that is playing a factor into Jared Goff playing like doo-doo, but he's not it right now, man. Like, I can't honestly think of a worse starting quarterback in the NFL right now that's playing worse than Jared Goff. As far as not looking at the stats, because you look at the stats, you're like, all right, his stats is, well, he has 4 interceptions, 7 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, or 8 touchdowns? I don't remember.
I don't care about his stats, dude. He stinks.
Exactly. You know, if you look at his stats, you're like, all right, it's not that bad, but you just got to watch this guy and watch what he's doing. It's been pitiful. It's been downright terrible. I mean, the only argument you could probably make as far as who's playing worse is probably 98-year-old Big Ben. But besides that, I don't. And Ben, I think Ben is playing better than him. But is this
yeah,
Ben?
That's the only game. That's the only name I could give you. I said maybe Zach Wilson or
no.
Or
Zach Wilson is playing better. Zach Wilson throws the ball downfield.
He does. He does.
He's not scared of it of making a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you gotta learn to burn, and that's what these rookies are doing right now. They're like, shit, you're open. Here you go. But yeah, man, Jared Goff. His mistakes is coming crucial, man. It's honestly holding this offense back, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's crazy, man, because we were supposed to get through the season with Jared Goff, no problems. Like, we were supposed to just look at Jared Goff at the very least. It's like, this guy is serviceable, probably not our franchise quarterback. I'm saying this is the bare minimum. This guy is like just not our franchise quarterback. He's an afterthought after 2023. But we're at the point where I would say, I'm not going to necessarily say half the fan base, but it might be half the fan base once this guy benched after week 6.
No, I think it's more than half. It's way more than half of the fan base that wants to bench. It's way more than half.
I'm out on Goff. I've been out on Goff since we traded for him. But I'm out on the idea, though, of starting David Blau. I think that's just a terrible idea. I think it's a terrible idea.
You know what? I'll tell you this, man. I was so depressed last night. After just thinking about Jared Goff, I was so in a depressed state. that I was like, you know what? Let me go back and watch some of David Blau when he was a starter.
And what did you pick up from that?
It was more exciting than goddamn Jared Goff. That's what I picked up from it. I kid you not. I look back at most of his throws. He wasn't scared to throw the ball down the field. We all saw that. He was a guy who, when pressure came, you know, around him, he would step up in the pocket and still try to make throws. It was definitely more exciting. It actually reminded me, because even when we lost Stafford and we were losing those games, I remember saying, man, we lost, but shit, this was kind of exciting. David Blau put up a fight.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah, I remember saying David Blau put up a fight.
I think you could only say that about for one game. I think Jeff Driskel gave you more of a fight than David Blau, though.
I mean, yeah, he did.
Most of those games were Jeff Driskel. Like the Cowboys game, I think you're thinking of, that was Jeff Driskel.
That was Driskel.
That Washington football team game, it wasn't very exciting, but that was Jeff Driskel.
But I know
that game he got hurt.
The game we played the Packers, that was exciting.
Packers. Was that Blau or Driskel?
No, that was Blau, man.
It was Blau, okay.
Yeah. But this is just watching, and the thing is, David Blau.
Week 17, you're thinking of. Yeah. Yes.
David Blau never wowed me with his arm because he doesn't have an arm. I think he actually has a noodle arm, to be honest with you. Like, even when he throws a deep ball, it kind of just sails, you know? But he's just not scared. He's not going to be a check down zombie, you know? And he's not going to be scared to throw the ball downfield, even with his noodle arm. That's crazy.
So, are you in the camp? Star David Blau?
Right now, I want to give up on golf just yet. And this is, I sound insane saying that. Maybe see, I mean, I think Dan Campbell has to exhaust all his options before he pulls the plug on Jared Goff. He has to do everything in his power to try to make Jared Goff better. And if all those fails, if Dan Campbell does everything and, you know, Anthony Lynn, they do everything to make this as easy as possible for Jared Goff, and he still sucks ass, you have to pull the trigger at that point. But I think we're in going to week seven.
I'm going to week seven.
I mean, I still think it's kind of early.
I do too.
It's kind of early to pull the plug on him and just say, look, you're going to be benched. You sucked for these first 6 weeks. This is we're going to bench you. You know, I think you have to give him more of a chance. It hurts for me to say that because he's been damn right terrible, man. But
I know.
You just can't pull the plug on a guy that early.
I know, it's just a funny scenario. It's a 99% chance it's not going to happen. But a funny-ass scenario, I'm just thinking on the top of my head, because we played LA Rams this week, right?
Yeah.
You know what that means. Jared Goff's former team. Matthew's ever playing the Detroit Lions, right?
You think he's going to ball out?
No. I think the funny-ass story would be is if Jared Goff got benched this week when he goes back to LA healthy, he's on the sideline watching the Lions-Rams game, and David Blau is starting, but as Jared Goff is healthy.
That would be some shit. That would be a story for you. That would be some shit.
That would be crazy. Jared Goff healthy, but he's the backup quarterback for the game in LA.
He'll feel like shit. That'll suck.
Yes. And St. Matthew Stafford's cooking too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think the only way Blau will go in the game right now is if something happened to Jared Goff and he got hurt. Then you have to see David Blau. But I still think it's too early for them to pull the plug. They have to feel like they exhaust everything. Mm-hmm. But man, it's been a train wreck, man. And it is holding us back. As good as our defense played yesterday, holding the Cincinnati Bengals in that high powered offense to 10 points in the first half. I mean, we think about it, they scored on their first drive. The Cincinnati Bengals scored a touchdown in their first drive. That was a touchdown to the running back.
Chris Evans.
Former Wolverine. All right. So they gave up a touchdown on the Cincinnati Bengals' first drive. They held them to 3 damn points all the way to halftime after that. Mm-hmm. So this defense, I mean, this is not the same defense where you see in the past where it's like we can't stop nobody. Everybody's just running, doing whatever they want to us. These guys are causing stops. They're forcing stops. They're making turnovers, which is shit. I mean, we'll just talk about one last time we got an interception.
I know.
And look at three, four games in a row?
Cincy got an interception. Minnesota got an interception. Yeah, Alex Anzalone. Yeah. Versus Chicago got an interception. Versus Baltimore, four straight games.
Look at that. I mean, this
last game before that Baltimore game was the week before Thanksgiving when they played the Carolina Panthers.
Yes. And that's what this is all AG. These guys are playing at I'm excited. That's all I got to say. As far as the defense, I'm excited. But, man, this offense, they got to get rolling some type of way, man. And as far as the running game, I mean, I know what we averaged, like 1.2 yards per carry that game. But what was the average of our running backs?
It was bad.
I kind of expected that. Cincinnati coming in, I mean, in the pregame show, I talked about it. Yeah. They have a top 10 rushing defense. So I said it. It's going to be tough running the ball. But mm-hmm. I did say that, you know, if this shit's not working, you know, we got to go to plan B, which is get swept the ball. You got to go to the game plan that worked against Baltimore, which is get swept involved in any type of way you could possibly get them involved, which they didn't do.
Yeah,
it's tough, man. Do you have Jared Goff throwing 48 passes? 42 passes?
Game playing versus Detroit Lions offensively is so easy. It's literally just you stack the box so you don't let them get a run game going. You try to eliminate TJ Hockenson, and then the rest is on Jared Goff and the receivers one-on-one, basically.
That's terrible. That's scary.
I mean, like, it sounds like when Jared Goff's getting one-on-one looks with receivers and, like, just one-on-one versus a corner, you think he should be able to execute some passes, but it's just – nothing's working right now. Nothing's working.
And that's why I want to, you know, it's so hard when you're watching film to see, all right, this receiver is running the wrong route.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. So I just wonder how much of that is it that's messing with Jared Goff's head.
But some of these are clear missed throws. Like the TJ Hockenson one, that was a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a third down. That was on 3rd-and-8. And that could have been a touchdown.
TJ was wide open. He was wide open. Goff saw him.
You just put too much on the ball.
Completely missed him.
Yeah, that's on Jared Goff. I think that was just a misfire. But just, I'm more worried about the shit that he's not seeing. That's the shit that worries me. Like, if he has an overthrow, like, okay. All quarterbacks have overthrows.
Yeah.
You know, Patty Mahomes have overthrows. Everybody has overthrows. It happens. We watch Stafford. And like we watch games, Stafford is like over throwing the ball over everybody. I mean, your quarterback is going to happen. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the shit that's in front of him that he's not seeing. That's the shit that's alarming to me. Like, these guys are wide open right in front of him, and he's missing these guys. That's what's bothering me this season. And I've even when I went back in like to watching Jared Goff in L.A., I didn't see this stuff. I didn't see him missing wide open receivers like this. This is bad. This is happening at least once or twice every single game since week one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't know. I just don't know what to think of it. I just don't know.
It's bad. It's bad.
State of emergency. State of emergency. That's what this is. A state of emergency. This is bad.
And it's even worse. I think the biggest question move that Brad Holmes did this offseason was restructuring Jared Goff's contract, of making it more long-term than it actually was. I think that's the biggest head-scratcher I have with Brad Holmes right now, was him restructuring that deal. Because realistically, you could have gotten out of the deal after this year if you wanted to. I knew that was probably never going to happen. You would take the $5 million dead cap if you didn't restructure the deal. I believe that's what the details were. But if you didn't, if you kept him on the roster in 22, zero dead cap if you caught him after 2022. But now if you caught him after 2022, I don't know the exact numbers right now. That's more Pierre's, forte.
Yeah. This is where we miss Pierre at, right?
This is where you miss Forte. I need his numbers right now. So yeah. I don't know the exact number, but there's definitely now a dead cap if you cut Jared Goff after 2022 with the restructuring of his contract in the offseason, which if they didn't do that, it would be $0, I believe, after 2022 if they just left the deal how it was.
Let me ask, did that like relieve some cap room for this year for them to possibly bring in guys? Is that the reason why they restructured them?
It was for to have more cap room for this season.
Okay. I mean, that it makes sense because I think we didn't have Brockers at that time, did we?
We did have Brockers.
Oh, we did have Brockers? Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they needed help to getting somebody. I don't know. Maybe they needed room just in case. Yeah, just in case room. I don't know. But yeah, I think that's the reason why they did.
Because you have a lot of dead cap right now with all of Patricia and Bob Quinn's fuck ups. So you got a lot of dead cap over there.
Tons of it. Oh my God. I don't want to get into that. Let me bring up something really quick. I know this is going to be a very early topic because we're what, week six?
Yeah.
Going to week seven. And we're already talking about a lot of people talking about quarterbacks in the draft. Just really quick, I put up a poll about this on my Twitter. Just want to get your thoughts on this. Right now, these guys, I mean, maybe you feel differently. I don't think any of these quarterbacks coming out right now is a top 10 prospect. Do you feel like the Lions should, with the Rams pick, get a quarterback, one of these guys with the Rams pick? With the Rams pick, or just get best player available, whoever's there that can help the team right now, and wait till next year to see if possibly, because we still got two first round picks next year.
Yeah.
Or should you wait till next year to see if, you know, maybe one of these quarterbacks, maybe they stay, you know, and probably get better.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these guys are going to stay. Like, I don't see a situation that Rattler comes out this year. A lot of these guys, they might stay because I don't think any of these guys solidified themselves at the top 10 pick in this draft class. Now, maybe a team that's hungry for a quarterback might get a guy early.
There's going to be quarterbacks always going to go early in the top 10.
As a reach. But yeah. I think a lot of these guys could feel like, all right, if I stay one more year, maybe I could be that definite top pick in the draft, you know? So how do you feel? Do you think the Lions should reach for a quarterback at the end of this draft with the Rams pick or wait till next year?
Absolutely not. If you're not confident with the quarterback you are drafting in the top five, absolutely not. If you think you can get that guy in the late first round, you're not high on the guy enough for him to be your franchise quarterback. That's how I always told you. I told you this on Sunday. I have never been in the boat where you take a quarterback in the second round or late first round. You either love the guy or you don't like him enough where he's your franchise quarterback. So I don't touch quarterbacks unless it's like late day three at that point. I hate the second round, the third round. Late first round quarterbacks, I absolutely despise it. And I know you're gonna get like people are gonna tell me, oh, what about Lamar Jackson? Oh, what about Russell Wilson? Oh, what about all these guys? The likely chance of you getting a franchise quarterback that late in the draft is so low. It's already hard enough to hit in the early, like top five, top 10.
Yeah.
Try imagine hitting one in the 30s or 40s or 50s. It's difficult, guys. You just don't touch that.
Yeah.
That's me personally.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Like if you want a quarterback, you trade up to get that guy.
Exactly.
You go up in the top 10, you get that guy. If you're out of reach, you know, or if you're in that top position, you get the guy when you're in the top 10 pick. But I just don't see, I don't see a situation right now that any of these guys come out and be like, wow, this is your number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm. I just don't see it. No, and if there's a guy that just absolutely kills it from now to the rest of the college football playoffs or whatever, or just the rest of the season, whatever, then you maybe consider it. But I think it's not even just us saying that we don't think there's a top five college quarterback right now that deserves to be a top five prospect, I should say. I think you're hearing it around all these, like, you know, big analysis, like all the big scouts, Daniel Jeremiah, I think like Mike Mayock, all those guys. I think they're in agreement that there's just not that quarterback in this class. And it sucks for the Lions because they obviously need a quarterback right now, and you're going to have a top pick this year. So it sucks that there's not a quarterback when you're in position to get one. But it's just not a position you reach just to get one. You don't just get a quarterback just to get a quarterback. You have to love this quarterback, and you have to think that this guy is going to be part of your franchise for the next 10 years plus. That's how I look at it.
Exactly. Yeah, so, This is not a tryout.
This is not like Jared Goff. Hey, we'll throw you in the deal. We'll see what you can do for 2 years. That's completely different. When I'm drafting a quarterback with the number one pick or the number two pick or anywhere in the top five, I love that prospect. I have to absolutely love that prospect, and I have to see a long-term plan where I know I'm going to get him another contract and maybe even two contracts, two big contracts.
Yeah, I don't mind building. Look at the Washington football team. Look at what they're doing. They're just chipping away. They're going to get to a point of just building. You're going to get to a point that they're going to be like, look, you insert a quarterback here, and we're contenders instantly.
Malcolm, I think another one, too, is like, I think we're seeing a little more success with this route as well. Is like, you build your team, and then you go for a veteran quarterback. Look at the Los Angeles Rams. John Matthew Stafford hits the market. Let's go trade for John Matthew Stafford. And I'm not going to – okay, Matthew Stafford don't hit the market very often. I'm going to bring up guys who just were in bad situations and are doing good now. Sam Darnold. You're trying to tell me if Sam Darnold hit the market, like a guy like that, and say all you have to do is give me a second and fourth round pick? I think there's a franchise quarterback that was just in a bad situation. Absolutely, I pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah,
you could and, you know who could be out there potentially? It's me and your guy, Tua Tagovailoa. If shit hits the fan in Miami. If shit hits the fan in Miami, Brian Flores is gone, and they're like, you know, the whoever the next head coach is, I'm throwing a crazy hypothetical right now. And say, you know, Tua's on the market, and Brad Holmes likes him, and they say, okay, we'll take him for a second-round pick. Absolutely, I'll trade a second-round pick for Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, me too.
I might even trade the late first-round pick for Tua.
I have a feeling there is somewhere Pierre listening. When he listens to this, he's going to throw up. He's not a Tua fan at all. Never been. He hates lefties.
Yeah, no, okay. I just brought Tua as an example. I'm saying, like, just the quarterback in general hits the market. And, like, you can go the veteran route. This isn't a bad situation. Okay, how about this? I'm not a big fan of this guy, but he could be on the market potentially in a couple of years. Daniel Jones. If you like Daniel Jones, if you think he's in a bad situation in New York right now, just like Darnold, you know, he was in a bad situation on the Jets. I don't want
Daniel Jones.
I don't like Danny Dimes. But I'm saying, like, if there's a veteran quarterback that's in a bad situation, you could always trade for one as well, as far as, you know, you don't always have to just draft one.
Exactly, man. Keep building. Keep fix this roster. Make us to a point that we're like, all right, we're solid here, and here. Mm-hmm. But we just need a quarterback. Like, I'm telling you, Washington football team, take notes. What the Washington is doing.
Indy?
Take notes, man. I'm just saying, like, they're going to get to a point. I think Washington probably next year could say, all right, they could just probably add one more piece. And they could just say, look, we just need a quarterback. And get their guy, and it's going to be a wrap. Because their defense, their front four is insane. I mean, I think it's all first rounders and on that front four. They're going to be to a point that they're going to be a problem once they get that quarterback.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. So I'm not rushing to a quarterback. If there's not a guy I absolutely love. If there's a guy I love, it's different. I'll take him. But I don't love a quarterback right now. And that could change. I just don't see it changing, though.
Yeah. From what I saw from Malik Willis last 2 weeks, this is not just me watching, looking at stats. I actually sat down and was like, all right, let me check out Malik Willis. And wow. Yeah, so with that being said, man, let's go on to our oopsie doopsie and baller of the week.
All right, let's do it. All right, Malcolm, you got the honors again. Yep. Baller of the week.
This is a no-brainer. No-brainer. This is going to go to my guy. Drafted in what, the fourth round? Did he get drafted in the fourth round? Fourth round, Derek Barnes. I mean, I said it earlier in this pod. This brother was all over the field. This brother could cover. He could tackle. Damn it, give this guy more snaps. He needs to be on the field probably every single play, passing downs, running downs. Damn it, and even on timeouts, just put him on the goddamn field. I don't care. Halftime, put him in the field. He needs to be on the field every single play. He's the linebacker. If I'm not sure if you guys remember, because I know maybe some of our fan base may be young, but DeAndre Levy, he is our DeAndre Levy right now.
That's who I grew up with.
Yeah, he is our DeAndre Levy right now, and he needs more snaps. He needs to be the green dot. He needs to be everything right now. So my ball of the week goes to Derek Barnes.
Derek Barnes, I like it. Okay.
Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
All right, and for this week's Oopsie Doopsie of the Week, again, a no-brainer, as Malcolm would say.
Wait. Before you announce it, is it the reigning champion?
Jelani Tavai. 2 weeks in a row?
No, I mean...
He's back?
No, I mean, this is going for a two-week streak. Is it going to be the same guy?
Jared Goff.
Oh, man.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, could I go any other way?
Let's see. No, I mean, looking at
I'm not giving it to Dan Campbell, even though that one fourth down was reckless as hell. I'm not giving it to Dan Campbell.
And he got it. He converted.
He got it.
This is a damn if you do, damn if you don't. If he didn't convert that play, you was about to talk mad shit.
I'm talking mad shit right now. Dude, that's fucking reckless.
It was reckless. But Dan Campbell's to a point.
Dude, Dan is just pissed off right now. He goes, dude, I can't do this again. Bro, I can't punt one more time.
Bro, and I'm sorry to interrupt your oochie doops the other week, but I just want to bring up something really quick, which had me laughing in the inside. Even though I was pissed, it had me laughing inside. I just want you to, maybe if you could remember this play, okay? And listeners, I want you to just think about this play, and hopefully you remember as well. Cincinnati, they took a knee on the last drive. They took a knee. Dan Campbell had all three of his timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
After they took the first knee, Dan Campbell said, "Fuck you! I'm taking a timeout. You're gonna have to beat us. And you're not gonna have this." It felt like he was the only person that didn't give up. He was like, damn this. You're gonna have to beat us. And they ended up, getting first down after that. But he was like, he didn't want to give up. Most mm-hmm. coaches said, "Fuck, this is over. We have no chance of coming back." But Dan Campbell was like, "You know what? You could go to hell with your knees. You're gonna have to get this first down because we want the ball back." So that was a chuckle moment, because I actually laughed in inside when Dan Campbell did that shit. Because I could just picture how pissed he was, and he was like, "Fuck, to hell with this. I'm calling a goddamn timeout."
It reminds me of Madden. I always do it. If I'm losing, you're sweating out these timeouts. You're sweating out this last minute. We're gonna play till the very end.
If I'm getting blown out in Madden, say if I'm losing as bad as the Lions were losing, and they take the knee, I'm like, shit with this. Just end this goddamn game.
No. I want the guy to send me a friendly quit and say, "You know what? I respect it. I've never had it before, but I want that to happen one day."
I get irritated and I get mad when a person is like, if they're blowing you out and there's like 4 seconds left on clock and they throw a touchdown, they're like, "What mother?" That irks me.
What do you play respectfully? You kneel the ball.
I usually do. I run it out or whatever.
Kneel the but damn ball that's, in Madden.
That's like, bro. That's like a I want to fight you moment.
Fight me. Take the loss. I'm gonna play around. I have to play Madden. We're not playing real. It's not real football. It's real football. It's disrespectful. But I can't even say that. Did you see Lamar Jackson trying to beat trying to have their consecutive 100-yard rusher or whatever? And the last play of the game, instead of kneeling the ball.
That was against you talking about the one against the Broncos, and Broncos
Big Fangio got pissed. Fangio was pissed.
That man threw his headset and everything. He was mad. Oh, man. But yeah, back to Oopsie. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Oopsie Doopsie.
Oh, yeah. Oopsie Doopsie. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff?
Yeah, I mean, no explanation. You guys saw what you guys saw. If you guys watched the game, he's Oopsie Doopsie week. Jared Goff.
He's a Oopsie Doopsie week for 2 weeks in a row, man. I mean, at this pace, shoot, he's coming for the record, right? He may break the record.
He might contend with Jelani Tavai and Patricia.
Jelani Tavai and Pencilhead. I mean, they hold the record right now.
Matt Patricia.
Almost said it, but no, Pencilhead. Yeah, man, this is not looking good for Jared Goff. He needs to turn it around quickly. Can he do it?
Versus former team.
Yeah, against his role.
And we will talk about that on Wednesday.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's that.
All right, guys. Hope you guys all enjoyed. And a very little update. That Bills-Titans game was insane. And your boy hit a small parlay. So.
Good, man. Good for you, man.
So the pick-ems came out on Monday Night Football 2 weeks in a row. So we'll take our money, and we're gonna run away with this. So.
Yes, sir. All right.
So promo code PRIPOD on Underdog Fantasy, $10 back on your first deposit of $10 or more. You could use your pick-ems on hockey is back, NBA is back, NFL is always exciting. A lot of sports going on right now, so take advantage of that deal of Underdog Fantasy. Promo code PRIPOD, $10 back on your first deposit of $10.
Yep.
And with that, 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever the hell you guys are listening. Hope you guys all enjoyed.
Yep.
Jared Goff is your oopsie doopsie of the week and yep. is in lead to win the MVP of oopsie doopsie of the week. Or of the year, I should say.
Yep.
I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy, Malcolm. Like Tyler said, lead those reviews. And with that being said, man, I am out. Peace.
Ha 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 ha!